It's what's happening right now. This is the Jazz Joe Hall Show on 980 CKNW.
Rob Fain for Jazz for one last day. Jazz will be back behind the microphone in this very chair talking to you tomorrow, and I look forward to his return. Well, BC has enacted legislation that prevents serious offenders from changing their names. And to talk a little bit about this, Rob Danu, former federal crown prosecutor and a criminal defense lawyer, also co-founder of Danu Dhaliwal Law Group. Rob, good afternoon.
Pleasure to be here, Rob.
Well, in its simplest terms, why now and how long did it take for this actually to finally come to fruition?
Well, look, to understand why this legislation has now been passed, you have to look at its origins, its birth, what motivated the government to create it. And there's usually two reasons. It's either policy or politics. And I can tell you this law was not created because there were criminals running amok, nefariously changing their names, which allowed them to commit more offenses. The motivation was Kevin Falcon. He blindsided the NDP, posted on social media that the NDP were in fact somehow helping or complicit with Mr. Schoenberg to hide his identity because he wanted to change his name. And now, in the age of social media, when you have a political grenade lobbed at you like that, you don't take the time to study whether criminals are actually changing their names, causing safety concerns. You have to react. And that's why we have this Name Amendment Act.
All right, I'm going to play you a clip from the BC Minister of Health, Adrian Dix. He was on Mornings with Simi, and I just want to get your reaction on the other side. Here's a clip.
If you've committed a serious offense, offenses like murder, sexual assault, and others, that you can't change your name. If you're a dangerous offender and defined by that by the courts, if you're a long-term offender, as defined by the court, you can't change your name. The focus is on the offense. The idea is to ensure that people cannot run away from the responsibilities for serious offenses.
I think there would be people out there, Rob, that would say they would agree with that. What would you say?
Well, I think the majority of people will agree with that because it makes common sense on the surface. So there's an accountability argument. You know, you shouldn't let these people change their names. We should hold them accountable in the long term. And that satisfies some victims. And I think it satisfies the community at large when it comes to being tough on crime. There's also a safety argument that seems to make common sense on the surface, which is that, you know, our communities are safer if we know who these people are who are living in them. But as usual, I'm probably the bearer of bad news, and I think this bill fails both on the safety front and on the fairness front, and I'll tell you why. The devil when it comes to legislation is always in the details, and one of the key words in the legislation is that it applies to prescribed offenses. That means the legislation only applies to a set number of offenses which are going to be the most serious. So it applies to a minority of offenses, all right? We don't even know yet what those prescribed offenses are. We only know that it's going to provide apply to a very small number of offenses. That's according to Mr. Dix himself. Now, second, BC is a little bit late to the name change party. All prairie provinces, Ontario, most of the Maritimes have already enacted legislation of this nature. Are people safer in these provinces? Do they even feel safer because of this type of legislation? And I highly doubt it. The last time I checked, you know, Rob Ford out of Ontario was screaming about how bad crime is in that province. And then there's plain common sense, Rob. We have to ask ourselves, in what circumstances would knowing the name of an individual in advance, if they were attacking you, actually help you? You know, most people don't walk around with name tags on. You know, it's a pretty limp tool when it comes to crime prevention. And lastly, and most importantly, studies clearly show that rehabilitation and reintegration into the community reduces reoffending. And this legislation may have the opposite effect of actually increasing the likelihood of reoffending if we're chasing these individuals from community to community with pitchforks and torches, further destabilizing them. What happens when people are destabilized? They reoffend.
Rob Danu is a former federal crown prosecutor, criminal defense lawyer, co-founder of Danu Dhaliwal Law Group here on the Jazz Joe Hall Show. I'll agree with some of what you said. I'm a little concerned with some of the other ones. One of the things that I do want to get into a little bit further, just because I think that's an eyebrow-raising moment there, is the prescribed offense. So you're saying here in British Columbia, we're not even 100% sure what is defined as a prescribed offense?
So I don't believe the regulations that will attach to the legislation that are actually passed yet. So there will be regs that attach to this new Name Amendment Act, which will lay out the actual offenses this applies to. So certainly we know the legislation, it applies to people who are not criminally responsible due to mental disorder. That's Mr. Schoenberg's case. And it applies to dangerous offenders. We know that in the legislation. And long-term offenders. Those are the worst types of criminals we have in the community or in custody. But we don't necessarily know what the prescribed offenses are, other than as Mr. Dix or Minister Mr. Dix has indicated, it will apply to the most serious types of offenses, and that is the minority of offenses.
Okay, so let's take an example like Carla Homolka, you know, one of the most notorious criminals in Canadian history. Obviously wanted to start her life over, wanted to go to a different part of the province or the country and just try to start fresh. What's the pro and the con of that, I guess, looking at it from your perspective? Because to me, she served her crime, did her time. She wants to go and start her life over. And now she won't have the opportunity to change her name. I know that that's not going to sit well with some of the listeners, but I just want to walk through that process.
Okay, well, look, Carla Homolka is the extreme outlier, one of the worst criminals ever in Canadian history, all right? So let's take a look at fairness when it comes to... So talk about Carla Homolka. I don't think anyone's going to say that Carla Homolka should be allowed to change her name based upon what she did, right? But let's take a look at fairness. How about Indigenous people who are already way overrepresented in the criminal justice system and want to reclaim their Indigenous name? Imagine you've lived your life in poverty on the reservation due to, you know, Canada's colonial legacy. You've experienced physical and emotional abuse. That leads to you becoming addicted, you may have mental health issues, you commit crime, but then you turn your life around. You get clean. You go through a healing process in your community. You're forgiven. On your healing journey to be the best person you can be, you want to reclaim your culture, your history, you want to reclaim your Indigenous name. Hmm. Now, I'm no expert, but I can tell you from my clients, your name in Indigenous culture is extremely important. It's even sacred. So, you know, or is that individual who has that background then going to be told by our government, who's already the source of their misery, that you can't change your name anymore?
How you identify, just for clarification here, how you identify publicly and verbally doesn't necessarily have to match what's on your documentation, right?
Of course it doesn't, but it's a very powerful thing. This is why we have official apologies. You know, why do we officially apologize over past wrongs? Because it means something to those people, to those communities. It's extremely important. It's easy for us to sit back and say, well, look, this doesn't mean much, but it means a lot to those individuals who have lived those lives. How about trans or binary individuals who need to change their name in terms of how they self-identify? They are also disproportionately victims of violence. They may suffer from addiction or mental health due to that. That may lead to crime. How about when they finally realize their gender identity over time and they can't change their name because the government won't let you? So what I'm saying is, Carla Homolka, certainly, I don't think very many people are going to agree that Carla Homolka should be allowed to change her name, but there are many individuals impacted by legislation of this nature that we're not thinking about.
I'd be very curious to know what they consider the offenses that will fall under this. It's a great conversation, Rob, and I really appreciate your insight on this. I wish we had more time to talk, but let's stay in touch because I think there's many more layers to this. I do appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Rob Deneau joining us here on the Jazz Joe Hall Show. Very rarely do I mid-interview get persuaded. That was a really interesting angle to that I hadn't really thought of. And I think that's what makes interviews on the radio great, is because you can come in there with your preconceived notions. Like, you hear about the changes to the NAME Act and it's going to help keep people safe. That makes a lot of sense. But you look at it from what he just mentioned when it comes to Indigenous people and non-binary, and you think of all of these different angles and elements where, you know, somebody's done their crime, done their time, they're back out, they're trying to better themselves, they're trying to reclaim an identity. I think we should open up the phones on this. 604-280-9898. Let's have a conversation about it, because I think there's going to be two different schools of thought here, and I think the best way to get to the solution is to have conversation. 604-280-9898. What do you think of this Changes to NAME Act that is meant to keep people safe but might be excluding or including people that shouldn't be a part of that conversation? 604-280-9898. Your calls are next.
You're listening to the Jazz Joe Hall Show on 980 CKNW.
Rob Fain for Jazz, 19 minutes after 4. Welcome back to the program. Let's go to the phones at 604-280-9898. The question that I had for you before we went to the break, this new legislation that is now in effect, by the way, that will prevent dangerous persons convicted of serious criminal code offenses from legally being able to change their name. I just had a conversation with a criminal defense lawyer that brought up some really interesting points, which is why I thought we should open up the phones. Karen, you're first up in South Surrey. What do you make of this new legislation?
I think it's important. I think anybody that changes their name, the criminal file should follow the name, regardless of what their name is. I really believe that in order to start protecting public safety, we have seen a real decline in our ability to protect the public with our laws and our inability to hold people who are criminally and incapable of being you know, the people who are not capable of being found guilty because of mental instability, I think that's an absolute failure to society. If somebody's dangerous, they want to change their name, they've committed a serious offense, the criminal file follows them with their name, period.
All right, Karen, thank you for the call. I'd be very curious to know, and I don't have the analytic in front of me, as to how many people have committed a crime once they have changed their name. I mean, I think this is a great political angle, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with at least questioning this legislation, but I do think that there's some hurdles here before it is, I guess you say, ironed out. Let's go to John at Burnaby. What are your thoughts on this, John?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I think your guest had a really great point, made me rethink things, and even the last caller had a great point. I would just want to say that I do support this legislation, especially when we talk about serious crimes such as murders, sex crimes, and yeah, crimes against children, that the crime should follow these individuals. And by changing their name, and I'll throw out one name in particular as a piece of garbage, is Alan Schoenborn. That's a perfect example of somebody who's trying to hide. I don't think these people charged with these types of crimes deserve a second chance.
Fair enough. Thank you, John. I appreciate the phone call. Again, very polarizing topic here. Some of the pros, and I'm going to say this from the person that has committed the crime. All right. Again, this is just me playing the devil's advocate here. They're probably looking for a fresh start. There's a stigma attached with their previous name, and privacy obviously can offer a degree of privacy. And then trying to rebuild their identity. So it really comes back down to the court of public opinion, which obviously states that you want to keep your community safe. And if you know the name and you know that you can keep your family safe because you can identify that criminal, then that's fine. But it goes back to the long adage of if you have served your sentence and you have rehabilitated yourself to the point where the courts deem you able to rejoin society, should you not have that right to continue to rebuild your life? Again, I'm simply a devil's advocate. And the challenge here is I think there are certain crimes that are going to fall through these cracks. And this was why Rob Deneau's interview for me was so intriguing, was the fact that as he broke this down, he brought up some really interesting points. He says, listen, this is all fine and dandy, but the very first thing in the NAME Act, which again prohibits a legal change of name for a person who has had a previous name, is convicted of a, and then here's the word that sums it up for me, convicted of a prescribed offense as established in the name regulation, and then we find out that they haven't completely defined what that is. Those are the cracks that I want to at least shine a little light on here. If you're a dangerous offender, if you're a long-term offender, you fall under the NAME Act. If you're found not criminally responsible for an offense due to a mental disorder and the act or omission that formed the basis of the offense charged was an offense prescribed in the name regulation, those are the only things. And again, that's a lot of legalese right there. But what I'm trying to say is they have it in real gray generalities. But I'm curious to know when you've got a bubble situation, which way they're going to lean. Let's go to Jeremy. And by the way, lawyers live for those questions. Let's go to Jeremy in Abbotsford. Jeremy, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I don't agree with what you're talking about. Bill Good did a show on this years ago. It was the guy on the Greyhound bus. He had beheaded somebody and ate their eyeball.
Yep.
That person was found not criminally responsible. NCR, it's called. That's how I learned this. It's from your show, actually. It's NCR. That guy can go apply for a job at a daycare tomorrow, and there's nothing showing what he's done in the past. And you're devil's advocate. I disagree with what you're doing. I don't think it's even fair, guys.
No, don't cut him off because he said that word. That's fine. Here's what I will say, Jeremy, is at the end of the day, it's my job to bring this to the forefront. You can agree with it, but it is legislation. This isn't me just riffing. This isn't me just off the cuff thinking, hey, you know, I think I'll just talk about this super sensitive topic. It is legislation within our province. So yeah, I'm going to talk about it. And you're not going to like everything that I'm going to say. There's going to be times where you're going to agree and you're going to disagree. But the problem is when we don't talk about these situations. Is it sensitive? Is it good for radio? It's up to you. But I'm always going to bring these things up because I think these conversations matter, and I will continue to have them.